I will look on to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. The prophet Micah was called to minister unto the people of Samaria and Jerusalem, unto the people of Judah. And he carried on his ministry during the reign of three kings. Could you turn with me, please, to the first chapter and to the first verse? Micah chapter 1, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Moreshite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. So we find that Micah ministered during the days of Jotham. Jotham was a bit of a compromiser. We're told that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Howbeit, the high places. The high places were not removed. He compromised. He allowed the high places, the idols, to remain. Instead of tearing them down, and having the people worship the one living and true God, the God of Israel. Micah also ministered during the days of Ahaz. Ahaz, the very worst of all of Judah's kings. And then he saw better times during the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah came to the throne, and during Hezekiah's reign, Judah experienced spiritual refreshing, reformation, and revival. There can be no doubt that Micah faithfully delivered the word which the Lord had given him. There we read in the verse 2 of the first chapter, "Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you. The Lord from his holy temple." So we can see that Micah was uncompromising in his denunciation of Judah's sin. Chapter 2, verse 1, he pronounces a woe upon Judah. "Woe unto them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand." And so Micah preached the word of the Lord. He denounced the nation for her sin. He told them that God, the Lord God, was against them while they continued in their sinful ways. He pronounced that woe upon them. Micah was well equipped of the Lord to deliver his word and carry out his mission and his ministry. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. Micah says, "But truly, I am full of the power by the Spirit of the Lord, and of judgment, and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression, and to Israel her sin. Truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. So it was possible for the servants of God in Old Testament times to be filled with the power of the Spirit of God. And any man that is full of the power of the Spirit of God is one who will preach Christ. Micah is no exception. Micah preached Christ. We know that from chapter 5 and verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth. He's speaking about Christ. He is the great prophecy regarding the birth and incarnation of the Son of God. Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so we see, we get an idea of what kind of a preacher and minister Micah was. And the first 6 chapters of his book are taken up with his dealing with the spiritual state of the nation of Judah and God's remedy for that nation. We have it there in verse 8 of chapter 6. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That was the word of the Lord to Judah. Now we come to chapter 7. Chapter 7 takes on a completely different tone. Where in the first 6 verses, or first 6 chapters, Micah has been dealing with the nation, we come to chapter 7, and Micah speaks about himself. This is something that is most unusual. It is most unusual that one of the Lord's prophets should open up his heart and express the feelings of his heart. That's what Micah did. Notice how the chapter 7 begins. He says, "Woe is me." He spoke about his distress of soul. He said, "Woe is me." The word woe there means sorrow. This was a deep-seated sorrow that Micah was speaking about, because we're told there in that verse 1 of chapter 7, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul," he's dealing with a soul. Here we have his distress of soul. Here's a prophet of the Lord. Is a servant of the Most High God. And he's talking here about not only sorrow of heart, but sorrow of soul. But how could this be? How could it be that a servant of the Lord should be in such sorrow and such state of mind and soul? Was it because of the religious compromise that he witnessed during the reign of Jotham? And perhaps it was the wickedness and Baal worship he had seen during the reign of Ahaz. Or was it because it had to preach against the sins of the nation for so long that it had grown weary in well-doing? It's possible for a man of God like Micah to become melancholy and sorrowful in soul when he takes his work for the Lord so seriously. And I believe that's what has happened to Micah. He'd grown weary in well-doing. Remember, he had ministered during the reign of three kings. If you like, you could say what he had seen going on around him had got to him. Sometimes things can get to us. Doesn't matter how spiritual we may be, things can get to us. And with Micah, we might say, woe is me. I am a man of a sorrowful heart and spirit. But what was he to do? The answer is there in the text, therefore. I am in distress of soul, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Not only did he speak here about his distress of soul, but he spoke here about his desolation of soul. Look at again at the verse 1. Woe is me, for because I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. There's nothing left over. After the harvest, after the grapes have been gathered in, there's just one or two grapes left. There are no clusters of grapes that are left to be eaten. That's all that's left for me, Micah is saying. For I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. There's the desolation of soul that Micah experienced. Remember, this is a prophet of the Lord. This is a man of God. This is a man who wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what is he experiencing? He is experiencing barrenness of soul. He's experienced a leanness of soul. It's so long for food, but there was none. It's so long for friendship, but there was none. It's so long for fellowship, but there was none. He was, or he felt rather, like Elijah. And Elijah felt he was the only one that was left. Who preached the word of the Lord. Is that how Micah felt? Could it be that he felt like this when Hezekiah was king? Could it be that Micah felt this way at a time when there was revival in the land, when there was reformation taking place in the land? Could it be that a servant of the Lord could be so cast down, so sorrowful of heart, at a time when the land was enjoying such blessing? And I answer, yes, it's possible. It is. It is possible for someone to experience this barrenness and leanness of soul at a time when others are rejoicing, when others are in blessing. That's how Micah felt. And what was he to do then? Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And then you have the disappointments of a soul. Verse 2. The good man has perished out of the earth. You can see why Micah felt so down, so cast down in heart. He says, the good man has perished out of the earth. The word good there is the word godly. The godly man has perished out of the earth. Where are all the godly men? Where are all the men of God? And there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. There's no mercy. There's no love. There's no tenderness of heart found amongst the men in Micah's day. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. The great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them, Micah says, is as a briar, sharp. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. There's Micah's disappointment. He looks around him and he said, where are the men of God? He looks around him and he sees men that have no heart, no love, show no mercy. They're all out for themselves. Whatever they can get, whatever they can gain. By fair meals, means are foul. And he says the best of them is as a briar. No fellowship. There wasn't a godly man to stand with. There wasn't a godly man to support him. There wasn't a godly man to strengthen him. So what was he to do? Therefore, the prophet said, I will look unto the Lord. That's what I'll do. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. This is our text for this year. Because there will be those times when we'll be disappointed, when we will feel this desolation of heart and of soul. And what are we to do? I trust that we will say, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, for God, my God, will hear me. Notice here, first of all, with regard to this text, that Micah sought comfort in the Lord. Micah had been grieved by what he had seen in the nation. He was grieved in his own heart. And here was his, first of all, his response. How did he respond to this? Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. That was how he responded. Micah had been in some distress of soul, crying, woe is me. For him, it was a time of sorrow. But he responded by saying, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. So, believer, whatever sorrows may come our way this year, if we happen to experience what Micah experienced, that sorrow of heart, that sorrow of soul. And I believe that's the worst sorrow of all, when there's a sorrow of soul. When we are like the psalmist when he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He didn't even know. He didn't know why he was cast down. And you and I know there are those days that we experience the same thing. We don't know why we're cast down. We don't know why we have this melancholy feeling. What should we do? Here's what we should do. Look unto the Lord. The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That was his answer. And here was Micah's answer. And there will be those times, believer, when we will experience that leanness of soul as well. When our cups are not running over. When we seem to have lost the joy of the Lord. What are we to do? Look on to the Lord. Look to the Lord for reviving. Look to the Lord for restoration. Look to the Lord to put that rejoicing back into our hearts. And when the prophet was disappointed because of the lack of good and godly men, he said, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. He was disappointed because there were no godly men to stand with him and support him. He says, I'll look unto the Lord then. He would look to the Lord because while he may have been disappointed in man, he knew this. He knew the Lord wouldn't disappoint him. We may suffer many disappointments, but we can be sure of this. The Lord will never disappoint us. We can look to him. Indeed, he has exhorted us to do that very thing. Has he not said, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He encourages us to look to him. And he says, I will save you from your disappointments. I'll save you from your desolation. Look unto me. Isaiah 45 and verse 22. And what did Paul say to the Hebrew believers? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May that be our response. Notice also the reason. The prophet knew that if he continued to trust his God by looking to him, that that trust would not be misplaced. He knew that his hope was in the Lord. The Lord was the hope for his personal needs and the needs of the nation. When he would be looking to the Lord, he would be looking to the one whom Paul called the God of hope. He is the God of hope. Joel the prophet said in Joel chapter 3 verse 16, the Lord will be the hope of his people. That's why Micah looked to the Lord, because he knew the Lord was the hope of his people. Believer, let us never forget that. The Lord is the hope of his people. The Lord is our hope. What hope do we have in seeing this meeting house filled, every seat occupied? What hope do we have? I tell you, our hope is in the Lord. That's where our hope is. Therefore, let us look to him. He is our hope. He's our only hope. Think of those who must face this year having no hope and without God in the world. There's no hope. They face the trials and the tribulations of this year, and they'll have to face them without God. They have no hope. But we rejoice that we can do as Micah did. We can look to the Lord because he is our hope. Psalmist says in Psalm 31 verse 24, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Isn't that what Micah needed? He needed to be strengthened in heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Another reason why Micah would look to the Lord was because not only would the Lord be his hope, but the Lord would be his help. Why else would he look to the Lord? Look to him for help. How often will we look to the Lord this year for help? I trust that it's to him we do look. Turn to Psalm 121. The psalm that we sang this morning. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It was the reason why Micah looked to the Lord, because he knew the Lord would be his help. There will be times of difficulty that we'll all have to go through. But may our response to those difficulties be that of Micah. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. Or as we love to sing, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Be thou our guide while life shall last and our eternal home. When he looked, was his response. He looked and we've outlined the reasons. He looked, and this also demonstrates his reliance upon the Lord. He was not going to look to man in this time of need. Look at what he said in verse 5. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. I wonder, had Micah experienced something like that? Why else would he write those words? Maybe that's what he had experienced. Like David in Ahithophel. The man who was David's counselor, his nearest friend and companion, turned against him and went over to the side of Absalom. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, one of the Lord's disciples, turned against him and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. Something had happened in Micah's life, and as a result of it, Micah said, therefore, I will look on to the Lord. Friends may have failed me and deserted me and turned against me, but the Lord will never fail me or desert me or turn against me. He never will. And it's interesting that these very words the Lord Jesus quoted in Matthew 10, verses 35 to 37. And Zechariah. Turn, please, to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. He's speaking about Christ, and Christ came unto his own, and his own received him not. His own received him not. His own turned against him. Those whom he regarded as his friends, he was wounded in the house of his friends. Micah perhaps had been wounded in the house of his friends, and he says, therefore, I will look to the Lord. And believer, if the same thing happens to us, we can look to the Lord, and we will know this. We will know this, that the Lord can empathize with us, because he has suffered the same. He was wounded in the house of his friends. And when we look to Christ, we know that we'll have a sympathetic ear. And we'll have an understanding heart. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. He sought comfort in the Lord. And then the next part of the verse tells us that he simply called upon the Lord. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. He sought comfort by looking I will wait for the God of my salvation. He simply called upon the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. Waiting upon the Lord refers to prayer. I believe that is made clear from the last part of the verse. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. He's speaking about prayer, waiting upon the Lord. He will pray. Here was his decision. Sometimes the desire to wait upon the Lord is not always in our hearts. We know that the old man, the old nature, would run 100 miles rather than spend an hour in prayer. The desire is not there. There's no desire to pray. And the Lord, we know, is the one who will put that desire in our hearts to pray. That desire soon returns when we find ourselves in trouble. That desire comes back to us very soon after we have, say, got bad news. Suddenly the desire to pray returns. And the Lord sometimes allows trouble to come our way, that once again the desire to pray and seek His face and wait upon God may return. Micah knew what he was to do. Oh, there was no lack of desire in Micah's part. Because he said, therefore, because of what has happened to me and how I feel, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. For Micah, the decision was easy. He must go to the Lord and bring his burdens to the Lord in prayer. No doubt the prophet was aware of the many rewards that come from waiting upon the Lord. The rewards are many. Why do so many people neglect this waiting upon God when the rewards are many? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There's the reward. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would that in itself not encourage us to wait upon the Lord? We'd be made stronger in the Lord. Our faith would be strengthened. Isaiah once again said this. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Listen to this. Blessed are all they that wait for him. That's a tremendous verse, Isaiah 30 and verse 18. Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. And he's waiting to show his mercy. That is, he'll be gracious and show mercy to all they that wait for him. There's the reward. There's the reward. Turn to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations, Jeremiah,
chapter 3, verse 24. Lamentations 3:24. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, while I hope in him, listen to this. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. There's the reward. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, unto the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We want the Lord to be good to us this year. As a church, he is good to us. He's good to us every day. We want the Lord to be gracious. We want the Lord to be merciful. We want the Lord to be good to us. And he has promised to be gracious. And he has promised to be merciful. And he has promised to be good unto all they that wait for him. Why would we not wait then? Why do we neglect this business of waiting? It's hard to understand, isn't it? With his decision, with his diligence also, the fact that Micah said he was going to wait for God speaks to us of his diligence. He was prepared to wait until the Lord was gracious, until the Lord was good, until the Lord was merciful. He was not going just to pray a little while and give it all up. He would be diligent in prayer. He would diligently wait for the Lord. However long it took for the answer to come, Micah was going to diligently wait. Believer, will you join us in diligently waiting for the answer to come? The answer that we as a church have longed for years, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That will come and answer the prayer. Has the Lord not encouraged us to be diligent in prayer through the words of his prophet Habakkuk? Habakkuk 2, verse 3. The Lord says, this is the Lord speaking to us. The Lord says, though it tarry, wait for it. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. What an encouragement then. This is the Lord himself encouraging us to wait. The Lord is not slack regarding his promises. Micah knew that. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. And with his response, and he was going to rely upon the Lord. He's not going to rely on anyone else. It was his decision to wait upon the Lord. He was diligent. Said he would wait for the Lord. The God of his salvation, there's his deliverer. He's the God of my salvation. Once again, we're encouraged to wait on the Lord. Why? Because he's the God of our salvation. And if he's the God of our salvation, what may we expect from the God of our salvation? Paul tells us, Hebrews 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. There it is. There's our salvation. God has given us his son. And if he has given us his son for our salvation, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If he has given us his son, then Paul says, in him or with his son, he'll freely give us all things. Freely? There's no reluctance on the part of God. The reluctance is on our part. There's a reluctance to wait. There's a reluctance to pray. There's a reluctance to call. There's a reluctance to cry. There's no reluctance on God's part. He'll freely give us all things. And finally, this text also shows us that Micah showed confidence in the Lord. Confidence. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Confident. Why was he so confident? Because of the person of God, who he is. And notice what Micah said, my God will hear me. He's my God. Other gods were worshipped in Judah. Other gods were worshipped. Gods that were made out of wood, made out of brass, made out of silver, made out of gold, made out of clay. Not one of them could hear the cry of their worshippers. Micah says, this is my God. My God hears prayer. He's my God. And he hears prayer. The one who would hear Micah's prayer was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. His was the covenant-keeping God. The one who made heaven and earth, Micah says, he's my God. The one who divided the waters of the Red Sea and delivered Israel out of Egypt, he's my God. The one who heard the cry of David and heard the cry of Samuel and heard the cry of Abraham. He's my God. Believer, is he not our God too? Of course he is. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. When we pray, every time we meet for prayer this year, let us remember that we come to a God who hears and answers prayer. He was confident because of the person. He was confident because of the promises. My God will hear me. He knew that because of all the promises God had made. Call, and I will answer. That was the Lord's promise. And God has told us to call, and he would answer. Told us to cry, and he would hear us. Didn't Hezekiah pray? Waited on the Lord, and the Lord told Isaiah, go and tell him, I have heard thy prayer. I heard it.
not only in hearing it, but he answered it. He was confident in the Lord because of the person, because of the promises, and because of the proof. Micah had only to look to Israel's history, and he had abundant proof that God answers prayer. All he had to do was to look to Elijah as he stood there on Mount Carmel and called upon the God of heaven to send the fire down to consume the sacrifice. And Micah said, there's the proof that God hears prayer. You see it in Elijah. Because Elijah prayed and the fire fell. And there's Joshua in the midst of the battle. And the day is far spent. The battle is almost won. The enemy is almost defeated, but the time is running out. And there in that battlefield, he called on God to cause the sun to stand still. There's the proof. Because the sun stood still, and the moon in the valley of Adullam. There's the proof that God hears prayer. We could look to Hezekiah. Hezekiah prayed when he was sick. And Hezekiah prayed, and the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and added to his life 15 years. There's the proof. Believer, take the verse. Take it, read it, pray over it every day. When the trials come, let us say with Micah, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. All right? Let's put him to the test. He's told us to do that. Prove me. Told us to do it with regard to our tithes. I believe that holds good with regard to our praying. All right, prove me. Let us prove the Lord. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. May it be a blessed text to our souls throughout this year. Let us pray. Our God, our loving and gracious Father, we do bless thee for the encouragement again that we receive from the Word. Lord, there are those times when we feel like Micah. And oh Lord, even that feeling discourages us. Wondering, is this just unique to me? Does no one else feel this way? Does no one else experience the things I experience? And yet we look to the Word and we see the mighty man of God, Micah. And there he is crying out, woe is me. Lamenting the desolation of his soul. But he knew what to do. Oh Lord, we pray that like Micah, we'll look to the Lord also. We'll wait for the God of our salvation. Though it tarry, he has told us, wait for it. It will surely come. Praise the Lord. Lord, let it come this year. Make 2007 the year of revival. The year of blessing. And help us, Lord, to wait upon the Lord. Knowing that our God answers prayer. Be with us, Lord, as we leave the house of the Lord. Bless us this day and return us tonight again to worship thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen. And amen.